It's a new year. We're at a new turning point. We're getting ready to move into a new building. It's a new turning point for our church. And I asked God, what do you want me to say to the people? And he spoke these words to me. It's time to defeat our defeat. So I've titled this message, Defeating Defeat. Defeating Defeat. I want to look at one verse of Scripture, Psalms 118, verse 6. Defeating Defeat. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. Let's shut the book and have church. Amen. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Hallelujah. You should have shouted already, church. We should have had a good time right then. The Lord's on my side. Amen. He's on my side. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I can't be defeated. God's with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that you are on our side. And I thank you that if you be for us, nothing can be against us. Father, I pray this morning that this message will elevate everyone in this building, that it will help us to realize that you have called us to be victorious people, that we are not defeated, we are not put down, we are not destroyed, but you are with us, God. I pray that you will help me to articulate that and help me, Lord, to share it with every person here. Bless them and strengthen them and anoint them and lift them up today, I pray. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God gave Joshua a great command. He said, Joshua, be strong and be very courageous. He told him that three times in Joshua chapter 1. He said, I'm going to take you across. You're going to possess the land that I'm giving to you. This is a new venture, a new time. You're going into a new level. You're going into a new place. And I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous. I want you to go forward. I want you to take the land. And the moment they stepped over into the land of Canaan, God began to do miracle after miracle. The falling of the walls of Jericho was one miracle that today we talk about and we shout about and we even mimic it sometimes. Have you ever been on a Jericho march? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, where you march around the church and everybody gets in line and marches with you. What we are symbolizing is that we are victorious. And that God has brought us here, and so there's no walls, there's no devil, there's nothing that can stop what God is doing because we're marching to his orders, amen? And Joshua was blessed with this opportunity to lead at that time. And he led the children of Israel into the promised land, and he's leading them into the promised land. And they conquer Jericho, and they come to this little city called Ai. Small, insignificant. And the falling of the walls of Jericho was so significant that Joshua said, we don't need to send that many down there. Ai is just a small little place. We'll just send a few thousand. So he sent just a few thousand down there. And the Bible said that they got whooped. The Bible said men lost their lives. Now, the Bible records Joshua in chapter 7 of the book of Joshua that he falls down on his face and he cries. He said, why are we here, God? Come on now, Joshua ain't the only one that's ever done that, right? What's going on? You brought us here and now it's falling apart and this is a mess and I don't understand what's going on. Why would this happen? Why would you let this happen? Your men died. You brought us here. We could have stayed on the other side of the river, and we could have been content, Joshua said. You know what God said to Joshua? Get up. That's exactly what he said. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get up. Get up. Quit laying down there, God said. Quit laying on the ground. Why are you laying down there? Get up. I didn't call you to whimper and whine. I called you to be victorious. Get up. And I called you to be victorious. Now get up and do what I called you to do. So So Joshua got up. I want you to know that you need to get up this year and realize you may have been falling down. You may have been falling apart. And the enemy may be doing a lot of tricks in your life. But it's not time to lay down and complain. It is time to get up and to stand firm and to be God's man or be God's woman. God doesn't need fancy things to do great things. He just needs someone to believe that the Lord is on their side. Do you believe he's on your side this morning? I believe he's on my side. That means nothing, no weapon formed against me. Come on now. If the Lord is on my side, nothing can stop what God is doing. That building's going to be done. The loan's going to be paid. And the vision's going to be complete. And God's going to do greater things beyond that because the visions haven't stopped rolling. You understand? Victory is mine. I said victory is mine and victory is yours. And all you've got to do is get up and say, yes, Father, I believe that you are on my side. And because I believe it, nothing can stop me. God's always just needed that one person to say, yeah, God, I know you're with me, so nothing's impossible. It's when people start looking at their bank accounts and looking at the world and looking at the possibilities that they lose faith and they got their eyes off God and they realize maybe it's difficult to have victory. But if you got your eyes on Jesus, victory is yours. David came to the camp of the Israelites, and he heard the giant speak. How many heard giants speak in your life? He heard the giant speak. The giant came out, and he said, come on out here, you scaredy cats, you bunch of scaredy Israelites. Why don't you come down here and fight me? Send down your best warrior, and I'll fight with him. Everybody in the camp of Israel went and hid behind rocks and in tents. I'm serious. God's people hiding from one man. Hiding from one man. God's people hiding. And when David, a little shepherd boy who believes that God is with him, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Dave, the difference between the children of Israel and David is the concept that God's with me. I know that I can overcome. And David said, what's going to happen to the man that kills that fool down there? Isn't that what he said? And God, they said, well, you know, you'll get to marry the king's daughter. He'll make you a ruler, and your family won't pay taxes. Serious, that's what he said. David said, sounds good. When that giant came out again, he went up to King Saul. He said, you let me go down there. I'll take care of him. And Saul laughed at him and mocked him a little bit and said, are you serious? You? He's trained in war. You're a shepherd boy. And David started pulling out a resume. Let me testify to you about the times that the Lord has been with me. How many got testimonies you could tell this morning about when the Lord's been with you? You've got testimonies about how God's brought you out or brought you through something or picked you up out of a pit and set you on a solid rock. And you had times when the devil came in like a flood and a standard rose up inside your life and you told the devil to back off and get away and you felt power and zeal and you marched in victory when you should have been defeated. David said, I'll go down there and fight him. Let me tell you about what happened. A bear came out, and God, he gave me that bear. I took that bear, and I whooped him. Lord, but that's not the only time, King Saul. God gave me a lion. And I got the lion, too. And this giant ain't going to be nothing more than a trophy on my wall. I'll go get him. Let me take care of him. And notice David doesn't go down there with the wisdom of the world. He goes down there in the name of the Lord. He goes down there with the concept that God is with me. He has 5 smooth stones and a sling. I mean, come on. Who fights a giant with 5 smooth stones and a sling? God's man does. Hey, man. I want you to know that you are victorious today because you believe one thing. The Lord is on your side. You have nothing to fear, and no man can come against you because God is before you. This is the year that you need to understand this. You are a victorious Christian. You are not defeated. You are not put down, and you are not destroyed, but you belong to the Almighty God, and we need to live that victorious life. Now I've got four R's of overcoming defeat and obtaining victory. I put them as R's, that way you'll be able to remember them. Four R's of overcoming and overcoming defeat and being victorious in your life. Number one, refocus. If there's anything this year needs to be, it needs to be a year of refocusing. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm blessed in my mess. Some of you are like, huh? I'm blessed in my mess. Now, Christians, if you think with me for a moment, you will think of times in your life when it's been a mess, but you've been blessed. You will think of times in your life when it's been falling apart, but God's been so good. You can think of times when you were ready to quit, but God kept you up. You can think of times when you were destroyed, you felt heart sick, and some Christian come by and picked you up and said, whoa, 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 we're going to get through this together. We're going to make it. I'm blessed in my mess. You understand what I mean? I'm blessed in my mess. I want you to know this is a year of refocusing. I'm not going to focus on the mess I'm in. I'm going to focus on the one who's blessed me and the one who's brought me out and the one who's kept me and the one who's sustained me and the one who's lifting me up at this very moment. I'm going to focus on that. We need to refocus. I don't want to be around the Christian who looks like they sucked on lemons all day long. I don't want to be around the Christian who is constantly saying, it's impossible. I can't make it through this. I can't get out of it. I can't do it. I don't understand. I don't get it. I want to be around that Christian who says, I'm in a mess, but I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. My focus is on him. My focus is on him. It's a mess right now, but my focus is on him. It's a mess in my home. It's a mess in my family. My heart, I've made mistakes. It's a mess, but I still feel blessed because God is still with me. I think one of the greatest stories that portrays this example is the Shunammite woman in the second book of Kings. The Shunammite woman was promised a son by the prophet Elisha. God gave her a son. And she was blessed. She made room for the prophet of God. She built a little room for the prophet of God so that when he came through town, he could go and sleep in that room. And he had a table, he had a bed, and she took care of him when he passed through. And so God, for doing that, gave her a son. It was a promised son. And one day the son grew up and he's out there with his father working in the field. And the son says to his father, Father, my head, my head. And he falls down and he collapses. They call for mama, and in mama's arms the baby dies. This is the son of promise. This is the son that God promised her. She took that baby, she put that baby boy, he wasn't a baby at this time, he's a little older, but still to mama, every child's a baby, amen? So took that little baby boy and put him inside the prophet's room, laid him on the prophet's bed, and she went and told the servant. The servant said, what's going on? Is everything okay? And she looked at that servant and said, it's all well. It's all well. Remember, I'm blessed in my mess. It's all well. It's all right. It's all well. Go get me one of them donkeys. I got to go somewhere. Daddy says, where you going? It's all well. It's all well. It's all well. But wait a minute. It ain't all well. Come on now. Her son's in the bed dead, but in her mind she says, it's all well. It's all. Come on, mamas. You know what I'm talking about. You prayed some of your own kids through with that concept. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And somehow that woman kept going. And when the servant of the prophet came to her, he said, what's going on? Why are you here? She said, it's all well. It's good. And when she got to the prophet, that's when she finally said, let me tell you what's going on. That's when The prophet said, I'll come down there. She believed in her heart that in the mess, she's blessed. This was God's promise. This was God's vision. This was God's doing. This child wasn't mine. I didn't ask for him, she said, but God gave him to me. And because God did it, and because God is with me, there's nothing that can be against me. And I know that God is for me. So I'm going to go to the prophet, and I'm going to tell him to come and take care of my promise. And that prophet came and took care of the promise. Let me remind you of Paul and Silas at midnight. They were blessed in a mess. Come on now. It was a mess. Their backs have been beat. Their stocks and bonds. They're in the innermost part of the prison. It's dark. It's midnight. They're praying and singing praises to God because they're blessed in a mess. I want Christians to realize this. It don't matter what the external things are going on around you. If in your spirit you know who you belong to, you are victorious no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, and no matter how bad it has been. Refocus. I want to be around those Christians that get beat and go, "Woo, praise God. Feel like dancing. My back's bruised, but oh, praise God. I'm hurting, but praise God. I'm sore, but praise God. I've been in prison, but praise God. My children died, but praise God. It's a mess, but it's still going to go on with Jesus." Refocus. Number two, remember, four R's of overcoming defeat and obtaining victory. One, refocus. Number two, refuse. Refuse to accept defeat. Refuse to accept defeat. The greatest tragedy for every Christian is not their failures. I want to say that again. The greatest tragedy for every Christian is not their failures. It's their acceptance of their defeat. You are not defeated until you say, "I accept." Every backslider has to accept that they leave God. They're done. They accept defeat. Otherwise, you're not backsliding. I'm serious. You have to willingly walk away. You can't. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. And when it gets inside of your spirit and your soul, it gives you a victorious attitude. Have you ever been at the end of your rope? Listen, I've been at the end of my rope and I've had to tie knots in it and just hold on. And the devil said, "I'm going to swing him off that rope." And he sent me on a good wild ride. You ever been on a wild ride? Some of you are on a wild ride right now. I was on a wild ride. He's swinging me around, trying to get me to let go. And people were telling me, "Just let go." Devils would come and speak to me through family members. I don't know why you keep serving God like that and going to that church. Those people are evil. I don't know why you're doing all that to yourself. Why you're working so hard for God. I had family members say, "You're like a slave." I said, "Yeah, I am. Okay." That is the biblical concept, I couldn't teach them spiritual things. You understand? They couldn't receive it, so I didn't say it. I just kept my mouth shut. But that came from the devil, because I'm only into my rope holding on, and the devil's like, get him off of that rope, and he's pushing me around, trying to get me to fall. But I had to tie an end to that rope, and I had to refuse. Some of you Christians know exactly what I'm talking about. When you have to say, "I refuse. I will not quit. I cannot quit. I cannot give up. I will not. There's too many people that I've witnessed to. There's too many souls that I've won. There's too many things I've done for God. There's too much water under the bridge to quit now. I refuse to quit." Refuse. This needs to be a year of refusing to give up. A year of refusing to give up. A year of refocusing on God and not the problem. A year of letting God do His will in our lives. The story that God gave me for this concept is David himself. David was in Ziklag, and he left Ziklag, and he was going to join the army of the Philistines. He was in a very low place in his life at this time. And David is already distraught because here he is going and trying to side with the enemy that he's fought for all his life. He's going to side with the Philistines, and the Philistines reject him and they send him home because they were worried that he might turn on them, and rightly so. And so they sent David home. But when David got home, the children of the Amalekites came in and they stole everything. They stole the children of all his men. They stole their wives. They stole their belongings. And they left the place in rubbish. And when David got back to his home, they were distraught because everything was gone. The men were so distraught. The Bible said they cried so much that they had no more tears in their body to cry. That's what the Bible said. And the Bible says that the men of David were going to kill David because of their own grief. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to talk to the Christian right now who's actually had to step back from others and go, I'm going to make it with or without you. I'm going to make it with or without you, but I'm going to make it. David encouraged himself. He said, God, what shall I do? What shall I do? He went to the Lord because the Lord was the promise for him. The Lord was with him. It was God that delivered him to begin with. It was God that was protecting him. It was God that anointed him to be king. It was God that had put him in that place. So God, what do I do? And God said, go, you will recover all. But he had to come to a place in himself where he had to refuse to accept defeat. Many Christians crawl under the rock of defeat when they get that low. This is not a year for you to crawl under a rock and hide because the devil has been wreaking havoc in your friends, your relationships, your loved ones, in your home, in your job. This is not a year for you to fall down and hide and say, I'm not going to do anything anyhow. I'm not going to do anything more anymore. I'm not going to talk to nobody. I'm not going to be. This is a year to refuse to accept defeat. Refuse to it. Now the third R. The third R. Refurbish. I mean, no, God, he's a refurbisher. He loves to refurbish us. He takes broken down things and makes them work. Look at your neighbor and tell him my setbacks have become great comebacks. How many know this? The Bible says all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I want you to know that it don't matter if you have made horrible failures in 2015. I want you to know you may have made horrible mistakes as a parent. You may have made horrible mistakes as a husband or as a wife. You may have made horrible mistakes in your relationship with your friends. But I want you to know that this is a year that God starts to refurbish and starts to restore and starts to bring back what the enemy is trying to do in your life. And I want you to know that when God refurbishes you, I don't even know if that's a word or not, but it works. Refurbishes you. When He does that, the newer you is even better than the older you. Ain't that amazing? Listen, I've been broke. And I'm not meaning money-wise, I mean broke. You know, like a car broke down broke, I've been broke. Like the engine wasn't running right. The alternator wasn't charging the battery. You know what I'm saying? The propane ran out. The gas wasn't there. Come on, you get what I'm saying? I've been broke before where I was like, I can't function. I'm broke. My mind is broke. My mind is defeated. My mind is hurt. My emotions are defeated. My emotions are broke. Have you ever had broke emotions and a broke mind and a broke heart? Have you ever been broke before? I want you to know that the Master's hands have a way of refurbishing you, and it's like a scar. It's stronger than it was before it was broke. When God does that healing, oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. When he heals your mind from that broke situation, when he heals your heart from that broke situation, when he comes in and heals you, it is stronger than it was before. I love that about our God. He's a refurbisher. We need to refocus. We need to refuse defeat. We need to be refurbished by the Master. If there's a guy in the Bible who believed that God refurbished, it was Peter. I'll not deny you, Lord. Never will I deny you. I'm willing to die for you, God. I'm willing to die. He denies God three times. But isn't it amazing? In your Bible, you travel just a little bit away from that moment. But in the Bible time, it's about 50 days time. And when they get to the day of Pentecost, the same Peter that denied Jesus 50 days earlier, he's been refurbished. Amen? And Peter stands up and preaches one of the greatest messages. And so anointed that 3,000 people come rushing into the gates of heaven because Peter preached. I believe God can refurbish, don't you? I said, I believe God can refurbish, don't you? Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm stronger today because of the mess I've been through yesterday. Amen? I'm stronger today because of what I went through yesterday. I used to fall apart, but I'm put together now. I've been in the hands of the refurbisher, and he's put me back together. I may not look like much, but I sure can run good. You understand? I may not look great, but I sure can overcome because God has refurbished me. History tells us about Peter that Peter was so refurbished in that area in his life. He was so much stronger that at the end of his life, they were going to kill him and crucify him. But they took his wife as well, and they locked her up. And they brought her to Peter before they were going to take her out and crucify. They're going to crucify her first to torture him more. And instead of Peter saying, oh, we'll deny the Lord, you know what he says to his wife? Remember the Lord. Because Peter probably thought back at that moment when that little young girl at that fire said, surely you were with him. And he cursed and said, no, I wasn't. But Peter had been refurbished, and he was stronger where he was weak at one time. You might have been weak last year in some areas in your life, but the refurbisher wants to rebuild some things in you to make you stronger than you've ever been in those areas in your life. He wants to make you stronger. And Peter said to his wife, remember the Lord. And then when they took Peter out, Peter said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And they crucified Peter upside down. Why? Because this is a refurbished man. He's stronger than he was before. You understand? When God gets done taking care of your mistakes, you'll be better because all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Refurbished. God is a refurbisher. Next word, resurgence. Resurgence. Resurgence simply means it's quit growing, it's quit living, but now it's grown, it's growing, and now it's alive. Resurgence. This is a year of resurgence. Nothing could be more dead than Lazarus. Some of you might be dead this morning. Spiritually speaking. Okay? Some of you might be dead spiritually. You might need a resurgence. Resurgence. Jesus came down to where Mary and Martha were, and they met him, and they said, Lord, if you had been here. But you got to understand something about our God. He's a God of resurgence. If it's dead, he'd bring it back. If it quit growing, he'd cause it to grow again. He's God. He can do it. And so Jesus said, it's okay. He's going to rise again. Oh, I know. They said in the last resurrection, he will rise. Maybe that's where we get that song. We will rise. Hallelujah. We will rise. Amen. But they said, he's gone now. There ain't nothing we can do for him. There's nothing that can happen. Maybe the devil's told you that about you. Maybe the devil said, there ain't nothing you can do. You are dead. Spiritually. I got to make sure you know that. Spiritually. Your spiritual desires, how do you know you're dead? Let me tell you how you know. Your spiritual desires aren't there. Right now, you'd rather be eating. Some, you know you're dead if when you walked in the church, you thought, I probably would rather be home. I'm talking about resurgence now. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the positive stuff. We got to get through the negative real quick, all right? Now, I'm going to really step on some toes. Are you ready? Lord, help them to receive this and not go away angry and frustrated and mad. Let this bring them to gladness in Jesus' name. If on Wednesday night you'd rather be anywhere else than hear the word of God, there's death in you. I said, there's death in you. Serious. Now, there's things you can't help. You can't help. You got work. You got things you do. There's things you can't help. But then, if you're sitting watching Bonanza, that's the only one I can think of, okay? It's the only Bonanza. I'll come up with a new one later, okay? Bonanza, something more modern, okay? You're sitting watching Bonanza at home while we're here praising God and worshiping God, and your heart would rather watch Bonanza than praise God. You need a resurgence. And that's what this year is. It's a year of refocus. It's a year of refusing defeat. It's a year of resurgence. A year of being refurbished. Lord, he stinks. Some Christians stink. It's been a long time since they've been alive. Pentecostal people who say we need to be Pentecostal, they themselves do not dance. We need more shouty, Holy Ghost-filled services, but they're the first to leave at altar call. Resurgence. He stinks by now, God. There's nothing we can do. He's been dead for 4 days, God. He smells. He's mummified. He's wrapped up. Dead. Jude says twice, plucked up by the roots. Dead. Roll back that stone. Should I expound on that metaphorically speaking? Roll back the stone in your life. Roll back the blockade that's stopping you from hopping out of your dead place. Roll back the blockade that's stopping you from getting closer to Jesus and experiencing a life-altering revival in your own life. Roll back the stone that's stopping you from praise and worship in your house. Roll back the stone that's stopping you from shouting and dancing in the altars. Roll back the stone that's stopping you from being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Roll back the stone that's stopping you from receiving the mercies and the blessings of God. Roll it back. I'm going to show you who's got power to resurrect around here. Jesus said, roll it back. Roll it back. And when he rolled back the stone, he uttered those words, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes that man hopping out of that dead place. I want you to know, church, you might be dead spiritually right now, but this is a year of resurgence. A year of resurrection, a year of bringing back that which is dead, that which isn't growing. Jesus told a parable about a tree that wasn't producing fruit. And he came to it and said, well, we need to just cut this down and throw it in the fire. But the guy said, wait a second. Let me dig around it. It could be this is a year of resurgence for this tree, you see. Let me dig around it. And let me put some fertilizer on it. And maybe this year we'll have fruit. Some of you don't realize I've been digging around your life. Some of you, I've dug around your life and I'm putting that fertilizer on it. Last week the fertilizer was nitrogen. You know what nitrogen does to grass or does to plants? It makes it sprout up quick. You know what I preached last week? It was nitrogen. Awake! That was nitrogen. Just putting that on some lives, you know. I'm out there getting it all fertilized because I want to see some fruit. You know, I want to see Brother Ron dancing in the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? I want to see people shouting because God's been good to them. Not because they want to look Pentecostal, but because in their heart there's been a shout of glory, a shout from God that's come down inside. Have you ever shouted because God has been good? Not because you just felt it for a moment, but because God's good, you say, hallelujah! Praise you, God! It's a year of resurgence where God brings back dead things, makes things grow, puts fruit back in lives. Church, you may not have a lot of fruit last year. Maybe your fruit has been wilting. Maybe your tree has been wilting. Maybe you've been in the winter of your spiritual life, but spring is around the corner. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, spring is around the corner, and there's going to be some buds on your tree because we've been working and putting the fertilizer where it belongs, and God's going to roll back stones in your life, and you're going to hop out of dead situations. My spirit is stronger than my body. I apologize. Look at your neighbor and tell him God specializes in death. When you're dead spiritually, he'll bring you back. Maybe in your life, you need some refocusing. Terry, come here. Maybe in your life, you need to refuse to accept defeat. Maybe in your life, you need some refurbishing. Maybe in your life, you need some resurgence. This is the year for it. This year, we're going to defeat our defeat. This year, we are going to be stronger than we've ever been before. This year, we're going to overcome the enemy, and the enemy is not going to overcome us. This year, Jericho's walls will fall. This year, AI will fall. This year, the enemy will fall. This year, souls will be saved that you've been praying for years. This year, things are going to happen because we have prayed. We have decided for victory. We have chosen victory over defeat. We have refused to hear the enemy barking down there in the valley of our life and telling us that we cannot overcome him. We're going to go find 5 smooth stones from the Holy Ghost. We're going to take that spiritual sling, and we're going to go down there in that valley, and we're going to knock that giant for a loop. And when we're done, we're going to shout victory because God has brought us to this place. Refocus, refuse, refurbish, resurgence.